Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 2. In this second chapter of Jeremiah, we have Jeremiah's first prophecy of judgment concerning the kingdom of Judah. Let's begin by reading the first 19 verses. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, Where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus and see. Send to Kedar and consider diligently, and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the people of Memphis and Tophanes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now why take the road to Egypt, to drink the waters of the Nile, or take the road to Assyria, to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 2 with some background notes. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we had the call and commission of Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah ministered in Jerusalem during the years leading up to the Babylonian captivity. As a result, Jeremiah did not have a pleasant ministry because it primarily consisted of judgment pronounced upon the people of God for their sins against the Lord. Now, we will see some encouraging passages in Jeremiah, but there are a lot of judgment prophecies in this book. But this in itself should be a lesson to us. God hates sin, and he must denounce it and judge it, then and always. So here in Jeremiah chapter 2, we have Jeremiah's first prophecy of judgment concerning the kingdom of Judah. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one, Judah left her first love and the fountain of living waters. Judah left her first love and the fountain of living waters. In verses 1 through 3, we have the good news. God looked on the early years of the nation as a honeymoon period. This was when God brought his people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and provided for them in the wilderness and protected them from their enemies. Even though Israel had to be disciplined for her sins of the wilderness, including the golden calf incident, they had not yet turned as a nation to the foreign gods of the surrounding nations. But when they came into the land, they left their first love and turned to the gods of the pagan nations around them. The honeymoon was over. In verses 4 through 7, the Lord asked Israel what was their reason for forsaking him. He had provided for them and protected them in the wilderness and brought them into a fruitful land. In verse 8, we see that not only the people turned away from the Lord, but the priests and the civil leaders and the prophets as well. In verses 9 through 14, the Lord said that you could search from Kittim or Cyprus in the west to Kedar or Kedar of Arabia in the east and not find another nation that gave up its gods. But Israel had forsaken the living God. They had committed two evils. Verse 13. They had not only turned away from the Lord as the fountain of living waters, but they had tried to quench their spiritual thirst from self-made cisterns, as it were. But they were broken cisterns that could not hold water. The imagery continues in verses 14 through 18, with Judah even turning for water to the Nile of Egypt and the Euphrates of Assyria. And this was after the young lions of Assyria had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and roared at Judah, verse 15. And it was also after the men of Memphis and Tophanes of Egypt had attacked Judah and shaved the crown of their head, as it were, verse 16. For such apostasy, Judah would reap what she had sown, verse 19. Prisoners would be taken to Babylon on the Euphrates, and others would run to Egypt and the Nile and die there. It did not have to be. Judah left her first love and the fountain of living waters. Doctrinal point number two. Judah turned to the immorality and idolatry of foreign nations. Idolatry and sexual immorality were closely connected in the ancient foreign religions. And you know, the same is true today in false religion. God had planted Israel as a choice vine in the land, but they became a wild, degenerate vine with no good fruit, and they had practiced literal sexual immorality like the Canaanites they had conquered. Verses 20 and 21. For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress, when on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down playing the harlot. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? Israel was still trying to deny her wrongdoing, but God said that they were entangled in sin that they could not wash away. Verses 22 and 23. For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. How can you say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after the Baals. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways. Now in verses 24 and 25, Judah's spiritual adultery is likened to a wild female donkey in heat. Judah would not become domesticated, but went after idolatrous strangers. Verses 24 and 25. A wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind in her desire, in her time of mating. Who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they will find her. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. No, for I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. God had exposed the shame and futility of Israel's idolatry. Verses 26 through 28. As the thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. You know, the same is true today. When people turn away from the Lord lets them see the futility of the gods that they hold in high esteem, like the gods of money and materialism, for example. In verses 29 through 31, the Lord's point is that Israel had no case in God's court. They had God's law and the prophets that God had sent, and they had experienced God's discipline, but they had killed God's prophets, including Isaiah, and they would not respond to God's discipline, and they turned further away, verses 29 through 31. Why will you plead with me? You have all transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are lords? We will come no more to you. In verses 32 and 33, the Lord likens Israel to a young bride forgetting her wedding dress and turning not only to adultery, but to wicked prostitution. Verses 32 and 33. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten my days without number. Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore you have also taught the wicked women your ways. In civil affairs, Judah had actually put innocent people to death and claimed she was still innocent. Verses 34 and 35. Also on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. Yet you say, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead my case against you, because you say, I have not sinned. Judah had wrongly looked to both Egypt and Assyria for help, instead of looking to the Lord. As a result, they would go as prisoners to Babylon. Verses 36 and 37. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. Indeed, you will go forth from him with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected your trusted allies, and you will not prosper by them. What a sad commentary on such a promising nation in the beginning. Judah turned to the immorality and idolatry of the foreign nations. What about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 2? Don't look for water in broken cisterns. Don't look for water in broken cisterns. This directive can be applied to us as individuals or as a nation. Our nation has turned from the fountain of living waters to the cisterns of secular humanism. But the cisterns of secular humanism are broken cisterns, regardless of how much so-called freedom is offered from any one of these self-made cisterns. Complete fulfillment and satisfaction can never be obtained apart from the fountain of living waters. Lapping the stagnant, muddy waters of these cisterns not only fails to quench spiritual thirst, it ultimately leads to the poison of dehumanization. Look, for example, at the murky waters in the self-made cistern of evolution compared to the biblical teaching of the noble beginnings of mankind, created in the image of God. Look, too, at the disillusionment, the disease, and the heartbreak of shattered marriages and families that have resulted from drinking at the humanistic cistern of sexual freedom. Don't look for water in broken cisterns.